Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, one of the two places that gives us the narrative concerning the birth of Christ, also found in Luke chapter 2 as well. Matthew chapter 2, we're going to read the first 15 verses there of Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, brethren, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." That's a quote, of course, from Micah 5:2. "Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasuries, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Hosea 11 and verse 1. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we love you today, and we do thank you for our precious Lord and Savior. We thank you for this wonderful birthday story, the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May, Lord, this morning we open up our ears, our minds, and our hearts to you. We are a needy people, every one of us. And God, because of that, you said that if we had come to you, that you would meet our needs. And so, Lord, we pray today, as the songs have been sung, everything that's been said and done, we pray as prepared our hearts to set back, and to listen up, and Lord, have you speak to our hearts today. We don't need to hear from me, but we do need to hear from you. And so, God, I pray that you'd speak through me and to all of us here today. Again, thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was born into this world many, many years ago. We thank you and praise you all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You know, I don't know if there was three wise men. You know, there's a big controversy about that. Three wise men. Why three wise men? Probably because of the three gifts. chances are there was more wise men than just three. Some say there was probably at least 30. I've even read some say there's probably 300. You just didn't travel by yourself during these times. It's a good way to get robbed, especially if you're carrying expensive gifts like gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so these kings, these three wise men, excuse me, were, I'm sure, traveling with a great entourage, a lot of people, a great convoy that was coming. Of course, when they come into Jerusalem, it's not that big. It was quite a stir because of that. So I don't know if there was three wise men. I do not know that there were three types of gifts that were given. By the way, the gold represents kingship. The frankincense would be deity, and the myrrh would represent death. It was actually a embalming type spice that they would use at the time of death. In Isaiah, they mention the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, not here, but that second coming, that coming at the end of time, and they don't mention myrrh. The reason why they mention the gold and they mention frankincense, actually in there says incense, but that's the idea, the smell of the frankincense. But myrrh is not given. You know why? Because he came here to die. But when he comes again, he becomes as a conqueror. He comes to take back this creation that he has given us. And so, I don't know if there were three wise men, and I do know that there was three types of gift, because the Bible says so. And I don't know if he was born on December the 25th. There's that big argument out there. Well, we argue about the non-essentials, I believe. Some say, well, it would have been at least April before he was born. There would not have been sheep out in the fields and shepherds out there and so forth. And I don't know about that. Don't really care about that. The thing that I do care about is the important thing. And that important thing to know is that he was born. And today I want to speak to you from Matthew chapter 2, and I want to just use those four words this morning that we find there in verse 2, saying, where is he that is born? These wise men come, and the question was, here, he that is born. Where is he that is born? As I said, we find the account of the wise men searching for he that is born. That's what it says here in verse 2. We find the account of the wise men finding he that is born down in verse 11. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother and fell down to worship him with that gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we find an account of Joseph and Mary taking he that is born into Egypt. We find that in verses 13 through 14 here. Now, I got to thinking about this. This is interesting that back in the Old Testament, there was the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. That's what Christ means. Jesus was his earthly name. There was a lot of Jesuses back then. But this was Jesus. We would properly say it, Jesus the Christ, or Jesus the Messiah, because that's the terminology of Christ, is the meaning of the Messiah, talked about over and over again in the Old Testament. I thought about this, and I got to thinking, you know, he was to be born in Bethlehem, they tell us. Those prophets said. Then they also said that he would be called a Nazarene. And then they prophesied that he would come out of Egypt. Somebody might stand back and say, well, what is it? Or which is it? You know, is he in Bethlehem? Is he a Nazarene in Nazareth? Is he Egyptian? I mean, who is he? And yet when we read this passage of Scripture here, guess what happens? It becomes all clear. We see it. We see that his mother would travel down to Bethlehem. There she would give forth the child. Then we know that they lived in Nazareth. Before they ever did that, they had to flee over into Egypt. So all those prophecies turn out to be absolutely true, although probably back in the Old Testament, everybody's scratching their head. How can that be? How can he be born in Bethlehem and he'd be a Bethlehemite? What do you mean he's a Nazarene? He came out of Egypt. Well, he must be an Egyptian. But here's how it happened. You see, that's how God's Word works. You know, when I try to read about in the New Testament about the second coming of Christ, I'm not talking about the rapture. The rapture happened 7 years before the second coming of Christ. The first coming down to earth was what we just read today. He came down as a child in Bethlehem. The second coming, he comes down to earth again, but he comes down as the conquering king. 7 years before that, we have the rapture. He don't come down to earth. He comes in the clouds. We go up. That's why we use the term rapture, or to be caught up. We go up. He doesn't come down here. He only comes so far, and then we're caught up to be with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us that story. And you know, when I read about the second coming, not so much the rapture, although there might be some questions there. But when we talk about that second coming Christ in the book of Revelation, I don't know about some of you folks, but I know in this church I say, we're going to do a study through the book of Revelation. Everybody, oh yeah? Oh boy, I want to hear about that. You know why? Because they read the book of Revelation, they scratch their head. I don't know, how's that all going to happen? I guarantee you one thing, when it does, it'll be just like we talked about Bethlehem, the Nazarene, Egypt. You know what? It's all going to fall together and we're going to say, huh, just like he said, it happened. It happened that way. So here in chapter 2, we find the account of he that is born. You know, it's been 2,000 years now since the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had made some promises back there about this. After 3.5 years after that he was born, he lived here on this earth as the Messiah. What I'm saying is, I kind of said that wrong. He lived 30 years, and we only seen him one time. He only appeared one time at 12 years old. And then he disappeared again. And we don't see him for a while. And then at 30 years old, again, he reappears. And for the next 3.5 years, he presents himself as Jesus Christ, the Messiah that they had prophesied was coming. And then he died on the cross. He was crucified on that cross. And he did it. Guess what he did it for? To pay for your sins. You can't pay for your sins. You can't get baptized in the baptistry and wash away your sin. The Bible says nothing but the blood can wash away sin. In other words, why that, preacher? I don't understand that. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11. So when he shed his blood on the cross, what was he shedding? He's shedding his life. Because God is holy, he said, somebody has to pay for the sin of this world. And nobody could pay for the sin of the world but God himself. So God so loved the world that he sent his son down to do that. That's that story that we just read. Him coming down and taking upon him a body of flesh. And for 30 years, we hear only one instance at 12 years old. We hear about him. But at 30 years old, now he appears again. And for 3.5 years, he walks this earth as the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they crucify him on that cross. And for 3 days, he disappears again. And then all of a sudden, he appears and walks among the men for 40 days. And then he disappeared again. Where in the world is he? Well, the Bible says he sits on the right hand of the Father in heaven, making intercession for you and for me. He's our go-between. He's our lawyer. He's the one that stands up for us. And that's whereas, but nobody has seen him since then. You say, well, then how do we know about him? And what? Where's the account? It's right here in God's Word. You have to know what God's Word says. It tells us about his life. It tells us what we need to know about him and what we need to know about ourselves. Somebody said when you look into the Bible, it's like a mirror. You look into the Bible and you see the Lord just exactly like he is. But when you look in the Bible, guess what? You get a reflection about you, and you see yourself just like you are. You know, when I don't look into the Bible, I think I'm a pretty good guy. Better than most of you, that's no doubt. Just kidding. But when I look into the Word of God, you know what I find out? I'm a sinner, and I need the Savior. And when I look in the Word of God, I find the Savior. Not the one that you make up or I make up, but the ones in the Bible. Folks laugh at this because I say it all the time. Somebody says, oh yeah, I know Pastor Phillips. He's 6'8" and he weighs about 240 pounds and he's muscular and he has that long flowing hair. And you're looking at him saying, that's not the Brother Phillips I know. He's that short, fat, dumpy, bald-headed guy. Sometimes when people describe the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm scratching my head saying, that's not the Christ I know. Here's the Christ I want to know. Not the one that you and I make up in our minds or our eyes and our thoughts. I want to know what the Bible says. I want the picture of Jesus Christ. That's the mirror. I look in and I see him as he is, and I look in and I see me as I am as well, knowing my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Now, the Bible says he's coming again. One day, he's coming again. And then I'm going to see he that is born right here. I'm going to see him again one day. I want us to go through and look at three things. Very simple. It won't take long to go through them. Three things. I'm sure you've heard this statement, the reason for the season. You've heard that talk about Christmas. Christ is the reason for the season. Or I watch some of these, maybe you two too, these Hallmark Christmas programs. So my wife, she's in love with them. You know, she just watches all of them and everything and so forth. They're all right too. I watch them as well. But and the nice thing about it, you don't get all that other cussing and carrying on and all that stuff in it. But it happens there, and I hear it on the news everywhere. Well, this is the reason. This is what Christmas is all about. And they give you something. And it might not be bad, you know, to help one another. That's what Christmas is all about. No, it's not. That's a good thing, to help one another. But it isn't what Christmas is all about. The Christmas is all about giving to one another. No, it's not. Now, not that we shouldn't do that, and I think we've probably spent about $500,000 so far for our family. No, well, probably not that much. But anyway, that's not a bad thing. We don't mind giving gifts and all that, but that's not the reason for the season. And you can go on and on and on. Whatever it is that they're talking about, whatever they're doing, some good thing, and they'll say, yes, that's the reason for the season. That's what Christmas is all about. And it's not. It's not that it's bad, it's just that's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about what? The birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Now, all those other things might be nice. We might get ideas of like giving gifts and stuff like that from the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not preaching against those things or anything like that. I'm just simply saying Christmas is about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That ought to be number one. We ought to remember that. It's not about tinsel and trees. It's not about gifts and get-togethers. It's not about commercialism and commotion. It's not about Santa Claus and snow. Now, again, I'm not preaching against any of that stuff, and some of that stuff is fun and all that. That's fine and dandy, but Christmas is about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let me give you Three things, real quick. Number one, Christmas is about God keeping His Word. You said, I thought you said it's about the birth of Christ. Yeah, it is. God keeping His Word. So that's the first thing, God keeping His Word. The second thing that I'll mention, we'll get to it in a little bit, but God completing His work. And the third thing is God revealing His way. Well, preacher, it sounds like you're talking about different things than the birth of Christ. No, it is the birth of Christ. The birth of Christ is what? God keeping His Word. If you could have been there that day, or if we could go there this morning and go back in time and go among the shepherds and meet Joseph and congratulate Mary, and like some of you ladies would like to do, can I hold the baby? If we could go to that time and be there, you know what we'd be in the presence of? We'd be in the presence of the Lord. Yes, we would. And we would be in the presence of God keeping His Word. Because the Bible said that He was going to come. And God kept His Word. I've got to thinking about that. You know, God promised Eve that through her seed that there would be a Redeemer. God kept His Word, didn't He? He kept His Word when he that is born. And then I think of the promise to Abraham. He said a seed through which all nations would be blessed. Guess what? He that is born, guess what he did? He kept his word, didn't he? I think about Moses. Moses, he said he's going to raise up a prophet like unto Moses, that he would be a great deliverer. Guess what? He that is born, God kept his word. The prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 7 verse 14, the prophet Isaiah said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Guess what? He that is born, God kept his word. How do you know that? Well, if you just look at Matthew chapter 1, look down at verse 23, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," being interpreted, God with us. Jesus Christ is God with us. What I see here today, if you and I could go back in time and we could go to that stable and go in there and look down in the face there in the manger of that baby, what we would see is God keeping His Word. Well, what does that mean to us? I'll tell you what it means to me. God's going to keep His Word and His promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Preacher, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Yeah, because on August the 6th of 1972, on that Sunday, I bowed my head as they opened the Bible and showed me these verses, and I prayed and asked the Lord to forgive me and come into my heart and save me. How in the world do you know for sure you're saved? Because God keeps His promise. He that is born came just like God promised that He would come. And then I think of God had a promise that one day He's going to come again. Do you believe that He's actually going to come again? Yes, because He that is born was promised, and God always keeps those promises. God keeps His Word, doesn't He? And I think about God had promised to all those who know Him as Savior that He would never leave them nor forsake them. Hebrews 13:5. Or preacher, when you're out here in this world and sometimes it's dark out there and it's terrible, what are you trusting in? He that is born. God keeps His Word. I'm so thankful today. You know, there was a time when some people didn't think God was keeping His Word. Think about Eve. He said from her seed, you know, the Savior come. So she has Cain and she has Abel, and Cain killed Abel. Oh my goodness. What's going to happen now? I think of Abraham. Abraham, he said that of you I'm going to make a great nation. And Abraham gets up 100 years old and Sarah's 90 years old and she's barren. Oh my goodness. I don't know if God can keep His word. And then there was Moses. He died in the wilderness. And then there was Israel itself. They went into captivity into Egypt. And then they got back from there, and then they ended up, the northern kingdoms ended up being captured by Assyria, and the southern kingdom finally by Babylon, and it looked like God was not going to be able to keep His word. I mean, things are bad here. And then they did finally get out of all that and get back to Jerusalem. Guess what happened? They came under the thumb of the Roman Empire. Oh my goodness. But one night the stars shine. One night the shepherds came. One night they gathered together at that stable. And there was Mary and there was Joseph. And they looked down, and wrapped in swaddling clothes was a baby. He that is born. God kept His promise. And God can keep your promise to you. God saves those who will call upon Him to be saved. God keeps those whom He saves. God loves you. You know why? Because the Bible says so, and God keeps His word. It may look like that God is not able to keep it, but He is. God keeps His word. You know, the second thing here is God is completing His work. God is completing His work. He has used a variety of methods to show Himself to this world out there. If you're a studier of the Bible, the types and the shadows of the Old Testament teach us about the Lord. The sacrifice, it talks about taking the lamb without spot and without blemish and sacrificing that lamb. And later we'll learn that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He uses the sacrifice. He uses the tabernacle. If you do a study in the building of the tabernacle by Moses, you realize all those pieces in that tabernacle represents the Lord Jesus Christ and what He is doing. So He used types and shadows. He used the sacrifice. He used the tabernacle. He even uses the law in the Old Testament. And certainly He uses the universe, the creation of God. He used all these things. He used a variety of methods. You can't even figure out who Jesus Christ is in the New Testament unless you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why do I need four books that basically are saying similar things? Because we need to see Him from all directions. And it takes all four to help us to picture who Jesus Christ really is. So they used a variety of methods because no single thing could give a total testament of whom Jesus is. But the greatest and last effort to show who God is was He that is born. The Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know about Jesus? You want to know about God the Father? Then look at Jesus Christ, His Son. Matter of fact, Philip said to Jesus himself in John chapter 14, he said, Jesus, it would suffice us if you just show us the Father. You remember what he said? Jesus said, Philip, have I been so long with you and you don't understand? He that has seen me has seen the Father. He's the last and best effort given to us, God showing us who He is through the one that has been born that day. Jesus didn't come to start a new way. He didn't come to start a new way of God dealing with man, but He came to continue and complete the way God started all the way back there in the Garden of Eden. He's finishing that work. He is completing that work for us. Then, the last thing, and I'll close, and I promise, I'm circling the field, just about ready to land. So, I said what? I said, God keeping His word. How did He do that? From He that was born. I said God completing his work. How? Because of he that is born. And then finally, God's revealing his way. God in Christ became part of man that he might save us. God says, I've got to send my son down, take upon a body of flesh like yours and mine. You go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and you read, and it's a beautiful picture of what happened there in Hebrews chapter 10, excuse me. He goes back and explains that he had to take on a body of flesh like yours and mine. He was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. People say, God just don't understand me. Yeah, he does. Because he that was born into a body of flesh like yours and mine. Matter of fact, he understands probably a whole lot better than you and I do. Anybody been crucified yet? Any of you been whipped on the back 49 times? Any of you been treated like Christ has been treated? I want to tell you, I haven't. I'm 70 years old, and I want to tell you, in 70 years, I've never been treated like that. And I've been through some things in life, like many of you have. Oh yes, he understands. How can God the Father understand me down here? Because of he that was born that day. He was born in a body like man that he may be a part of man that he might save man from his sin. The Bible says it this way, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles, he says to us in 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to him. You know what reconcile means? Bringing back into union. A couple are on their outs and somebody gets with them and they talk to this one and talk to that and say, hey, let's reconcile. Let's get back together here. You know, bringing two parts back together again. And Paul said that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to him. That was that purpose. The birth of Jesus is God's way of getting among us so they could save us from our sin. So we have here this morning in the Christmas story. The true reason for Christmas is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason why he came was that he wanted to keep his word, complete his work, and reveal his way. Jesus said in John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's eternal life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, he that hath the Son hath life, eternal life. But he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, and the wrath of God abideth upon him. In other words, God's given you the way. And he's revealed it to us in that he that is born, Jesus Christ, he is the way. It's not the church. I'm thankful for the church. I've said to our people over and over, God gave us the Bible, God gave us prayer, and God gave us the church, and we need all three. You say, well, I can do without the church. No, you can't. Oh, preacher, I can do without a church. No, you can't. You say, you're kind of dogmatic about that. Well, not really. I'm just telling you, the Bible says that Jesus Christ founded the church. There's a reason for it, and I need to be a part of it. So God gave me the church, God gave me the word, and God gave me prayer. The Word talks to me, God talking to me, and prayer is I get to talk to God. I need those three things. God knew I needed something to hold on to because I'm a human being. It's one thing to say, well, I believe in God. I can't see Him. No one ever has. I can't see Him. Jesus Christ my Savior, but I can't see Him. But I can hold on to this. And it tells me about that God, and it tells me about that Savior, and it tells me, look, exactly who He is. He was the one that was born on that day back some 2,000 years ago, and He came to save you from your sins. He came, Christian, to come to dwell within you by the Holy Spirit, third part of the Trinity, so he can take you to heaven to be with him. That's really what Christmas is all about, is the coming of the Savior to reach out to his creation. You hear this all the time? Well, we're all God's children. No, we're not. We're all God's creation. He created all of us. Well, what do you mean? I've heard we're all God's children. No, you've been born once into this world. You're part of God's creation. But Jesus told a very religious man by the name of Nicodemus, except a man be born again into the family of God, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Have you ever been born again? You've been born once, you're here. Somebody said, I'll be with you in spirit. I don't want any ghost in here. I want you in here. You're here today, you've been born once, you're a human being. The question is, have you been born again the second time? Have you accepted what God gave us that day? He that was born in Bethlehem as promised to us. Let's bow our heads for prayer. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around this morning, as we think about the message today, as we think about the fact that God kept his word, he's always kept his word. We think about that God is completing his work. He's our best representative of who God is. It's God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's also giving us the way. Jesus said, I am the way. Joining the church is not the way. Getting baptized is not the way. Good works is not the way. As a matter of fact, it tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not good works that'll get you to heaven. Well, I'm going to start living right and doing right, and then God will look down upon me and smile and say, you can go to heaven. No, it's not of works. Why? Because lest any man should boast. He don't want boasting about what you did to get there. He wants you to understand what he did for you. He that was born that day in Bethlehem. It was God keeping his word, completing his work. God showing us the way. And it's Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, you know the folks that are here today. We lift up each and every one of them to you. You know their heart, their mind, their thoughts. And so, Father, we just look to you and asking, Lord, that you might move into those areas of their life and make it clear where they are with you. He that hath the Son hath life, that eternal life. But if you have not the Son, you are none of his, he says. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, walking out of the home of Zacchaeus, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. We're here today as Christians. Are we living our lives in a way that is well-pleasing to you? We pray, Heavenly Father, that you might speak to our hearts and to our minds. Maybe somebody here today say, you know what, I'm not sure that if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to be. I'd like to know what the Bible says. I'd like to know the God of the Bible, not the God of whatever denomination or whatever church. I want to know the God of the Bible, the God of the Word of God. I do want to know him. I'd like for somebody to open the Bible up and show me how I can know for sure that I'm saved and going to heaven. Bible teaches that. These things have I written unto you, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God, that one that was born that day. So Lord, if somebody that needs Christ, may they be willing to step out and come. Let us open the Bible and sit down with them and talk with them and share that truth. Somebody here today is a Christian. Maybe you know somebody needs to be saved and you need to lift up that name to them. We encourage that one to come and, Lord, and to bow their knee and their head and lift up their voice to you today in prayer. Maybe some need to come as Christians and say, Lord, here am I. I want to be that bright light. I want to be a Christ-like Christian in this world. Help me to be what, God, you want me to be. I want to walk with you. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Christ, for dying on the cross. Thank you, Father, for raising him from the grave. I don't have to fear death, hell, or the grave because of he that was born that day. So, Lord, have your will and your way, and we'll thank you for it, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.